What were you doing 25 years ago tonight? Billy Joel was riding high on the charts with his last top 40 hit, but that was not in the minds of Maine Black Bear hockey fans as they were playing Lake Superior State for the national championship 25 years ago this evening. And on the mic, on the call, our next guest, Joe Carr, who joins us from his high-paid administrative mucky-muck job down at Providence College. Hello there, Joe.
Hi, Rich. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Good.
Where did those 25 years go?
You know, I was looking at some things the other day trying to put this in context. So that was a Saturday night championship game. Monday was opening day for Major League Baseball. And the Los Angeles Dodgers fielded a team with two rookies who went on to have pretty good careers. Rookies, mind you. Pedro Martinez and Mike Piazza.
Wow. Wow. Well, that puts it in some kind of perspective. Now, Joe, by the time the season rolled around, I'm trying to think back. That must have been what, about your maybe fifth or sixth season of doing Maine hockey?
Yeah, it was fifth season, I think, probably somewhere through there. Yeah, 87, 88 would have been my first full season. I picked up for Gary at the very end of the 87 season, Gary Thorne, that is.
Now, the season before, 91-92, there had been such high hopes for this team. They had a lot of talent, and that all ran aground. And the irony was it was Michigan State taking care of business
right.
to knock Maine out.
Very hot goaltender, which happens so often in a single elimination tournament. You never know. And you're right. Lots of people had high expectations, certainly for Frozen Four, which I don't think it was even called the Frozen Four yet at that point, still a Final Four. And it just didn't materialize that way. But in some ways, that may have helped set the stage for what happened the next year. I think that the returning players, especially Jim Montgomery, you know, the captain, came back probably even a little more focused and a little more determined to try to take that next step.
Now, you lost a couple of very talented players from that 91-92 team, Jean-Yves Roy, Scott Pellerin moved on, but a pretty impressive recruiting class that came to Orono.
Yeah, not bad when you start with Paul Kariya and Chris and Peter Ferraro, right? That's about as good as it gets. I've often, you know, Scott Pellerin graduated, so he clearly wasn't coming back, but I often wondered what would have happened if Jean-Yves Roy had stayed for his senior year.
Mm.
Imagine him on that team. He displaced Cal Ingraham on the line with Jim Montgomery and Paul Kariya. Who knows? It's kind of fun to think about.
Well, it was such a remarkable season. You know, for anybody who has followed college hockey, I think there's a consensus that this was the greatest single season any team has ever had in college hockey. And so much talent. You mentioned Ingraham, guys like Chris Imes, the goaltending duo that has to be one of the best of all time in Snow and Dunham.
Absolutely. Eight NHL players on that team, or eight guys who became NHL players. 7 20 goal scorers. You just go down the list of the numbers, and it's staggering. Of course, Kariya had the 100 points, 75 assists, and 25 goals. Jim Montgomery got to 300 for his career. Cal Ingraham had 46 goals. The list goes on, and an incredible collection of talent. I think that the thing that probably sets this team apart, if anything does, from all the others, is the depth. There are just so many good players. That's why they scored more goals than any other team ever has, and why they won more games than any other team ever has.
That talent extended to the bench as well, because in many ways it was a dream team of a coaching staff, starting with Sean Walsh. But when you bring in, you know, guys like Grant Stanbrook, obviously, Red Gendron, Bruce Major, I think, was a grad assistant that year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty impressive group of coaches together.
Yeah, Bruce was my broadcast partner that year.
That's right.
He was terrific at that role, too. But right, so with three coaches on the staff who were all either former or eventual head coaches, or current head coaches in Sean Walsh's case, you had a lot of talent there, a lot of brain power. And it's important to remember Bruce Crowder's role in helping put this team together,
right,
too. He had since moved on to UMass Lowell, but he was involved certainly with the recruitment of people like Jim Montgomery and Brian Downey in that class.
We're talking with Joe Carr here on Downtown about the 92-93 National Championship Black Bear hockey team. Joe, at one point during that regular season, did you start to get the feeling this might be a really special year?
Oh, before the season. I think going into it, everybody knew that this was going to be something remarkable. I remember doing a television interview with Dave McNabb, who was then an Anaheim Ducks executive. He's the guy who ended up drafting Paul Kariya, and he was around scouting a lot and kind of a media-friendly guy. And he said, before the season, this team could go undefeated. and he was pretty close. It almost happened, except for that one strange game that they lost. But my first memory is walking into the blue-white game, the preseason intra-squad game that Coach Walsh always used to stage, and by the way, which turned out 2,500 or 3,000 fans or whatever it was every year. And he had Paul Kariya and the Ferraro twins on a line together for that game, and their first shift, they jumped over the boards and scored a tic-tac-toe goal, and jaws dropped because we could hardly believe what we just saw. Little did we know we were going to see it for another 6 months, especially when it comes to Kariya. So there was no doubt from the outset that this was going to be special.
People forget, though, because I think Maine's first appearance in the Final Four before it was the Frozen Four, I believe, was the 87-88 season out at Lake Placid.
And I were there.
That's right, yes.
So it was fun.
And by the time 92-93 rolled around, you know, people were saying, well, look, we know Sean's a heck of a coach, but God, can Maine ever win that big one? Can they ever get over the hump? Yeah, they found a way to do it. Although, if we move into the playoffs that year, it almost ended quickly in a game with Michigan. And we talk about the big names, but it was a role player who saved the Black Bears. And his name came up a lot when the team was honored up here by the Hall of Fame last fall, the late Lee Saunders.
That was something, wasn't it? That goal that Lee Saunders scored to beat Michigan in overtime, he really didn't hardly shoot it. It kind of rolled off his stick. It was a strange play. He walked it toward the goal. That's exaggerating. He did shoot it, but not very hard. And it kind of trickled through some things and somehow found its way into the goal. And that was that leading to the championship game. But you're right. That was the fourth Final Four appearance, right? 88, 89, 91, 93. And it had been tough getting to that championship game, never mind winning it. So it was really something to behold, that's for sure.
Well, and then Lake Superior State, a team that Maine knew very well from previous Final Four appearances, and Black Bears fired up for the game, but it didn't start well at all for Maine.
Especially the second period was tough because they gave up the three goals and fell behind. And the game was different then, though. I think if you go into a championship game or any college hockey game now, down by two after two periods, you think you're in deep trouble, and you are. But there were more goals scored then, so the likelihood of seeing a comeback was more than it would be the way the game is played today. So it was dire, that's for sure, but it was not necessarily something that had where widespread panic had set in. The possibility was there of the comeback, especially with all the firepower. But I don't think anybody could have imagined one guy, Jim Montgomery, scoring the natural hat trick in a span of just over 4 minutes.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of that if we can. This is from 25 years ago. Joe on the call, along with Tim Throckmorton. And we'll talk in a moment about how Tim got to be involved in this as well. But Maine, at this point, third period, down 4-2. Let's give a listen.
In behind the Lake Superior net, Korea's got it. Paul Kariya gets free. In front, throws it on goal, score! Jim Montgomery cuts the lead to 4-3 from Paul Kariya.
That was a beautiful pass, and Montgomery just camped out of the corner of the net. Just a pretty pass from Paul Kariya.
Kariya came from behind the net to the right wing, bottom of the right wing faceoff circle. Threw it right through a crowd in front, and there was Jim Montgomery in the spot normally occupied by Cal Ingraham for those tip-in goals.
Korea's been working awfully hard this game, and he wants it as much for the seniors on this squad as himself. Talented player, but you can see the adrenaline's rushing through these Black Bears now, and they've gotten one back.
So, Joe, now Tim Throckmorton didn't begin that game as your color analyst. Can you share the story of what happened?
Right. Bruce Major, who was on the coaching staff, was my broadcast partner throughout the season, but for some reason in the NCAA tournament, that was disallowed. Coaching staff members could not be involved in the broadcast. And we had this experience in previous years with Joe Clark, who had been a color analyst and also an assistant coach. So it was no surprise. But there was a guy named Dave Lassonde who went on to become a UNH assistant coach. But I had gone to college with him, and he was on the staff at Wisconsin. And I knew him to be an outgoing and credible and knowledgeable guy. So I asked him to join me for the broadcast, and he said, sure. But then after the second period, he basically said, well, you know, I've kind of had enough of this, and he went to do something else and just didn't come back. And so there was Tim, and because of the way that the station ownership was set up at that time, we were effectively working for the same company because the WYOU-FM was the broadcast, the radio broadcasting station and affiliated with WABI-TV. So Tim jumped in, and boy, if anybody was ever good luck, I guess it was Tim.
Absolutely. The game is 4-3 in the third period, and just moments later, here's that duo again.
4-3, Maine trails, 12:44 to go in the third period. Free at center ice. Picked up by Morin. Clears it in. Knocked down by Dan Murphy to Paul Kariya. Up toward Montgomery. They can't connect. Ralston moves back in for Lake Superior. Ralston shot. Blocked by Murphy. Montgomery controls to Paul Kariya. Kariya on the move at center ice. 3-on-3. He's in. Drops it back. Chris Imes shot. He's looking for a tip, actually, on the far post from Kariya. Kariya got hauled down. Montgomery scores! The game is tied at 4! 7 minutes and 40 seconds gone in the third period of the national championship game is tied at 4.
Wow. Yep. It got a little exciting at that point. My goodness. And then we forget how quickly this all happened. As you said, all within the span of just over 5.5 minutes.
So quick. It was really, probably 4 shifts for that line. Although Coach Walsh was running them out there as often as he could. We weren't seeing a lot of the fourth line at that point, especially down by 2 and down by 1. But that's one of the most stunning things about what happened is how quickly. So, among many things that were stunning about it, but that's for sure.
Well, here we are tied 4-4 in the national championship game, and you want to cement yourself in the hearts of Black Bear fans always. You get a natural hat trick and get all 3 of them assisted by Paul Kariya. Well, here's what it sounded like 25 years ago tonight.
Kariya gets it to Cal Ingraham. Midpoint, Martin tees it up, goes to Montgomery, left point. In for Ingraham, left wing half for Montgomery at the point. Man on the power play. Martin off the pass, shot blocked in front. Kariya shoots wide. It was blocked by a defenseman. Paul Kariya, right wing corner. Gets bumped, tried to go to Martin at the point. Martin will step up, but it's cleared past him. And all the way down to the main end by Rob Belizevic. Play by Snow to Jim Montgomery. A minute 33 to go on the Black Bear power play. Maine has not had a power play since early in the second period. Taken away from Montgomery. Now he'll go and get it back. Clayton Beddoes with good work there. Montgomery controls, though. And he'll start up for the Black Bears. On the left wing, Kariya catches it on the fly and moves in. Kariya cuts it beside the net. Center! Score! The Black Bears lead the game. Jim Montgomery, his third goal in just over 4 minutes. A power play goal. The Black Bears have scored 3 times in the third period to take a 5-4 lead.
And Jill, we were talking about this. This is the third time we've listened to these highlights today. They're so good, and it takes you back. But Carrie and I were talking before the show. We had forgotten it was a power play, but also how much time was still left in the game at that point.
Oh, that's for sure. The rest of it took a while to get through. And you mentioned the power play. That was important. Maine had, remember, tied the game at 4, and then Lake Superior took a penalty. So I think we could all kind of feel it coming at that point and really thought that power play could be the goal that would put Maine ahead, and certainly that's the way that it worked out. But down the stretch, very late in the game, Lake Superior hit a crossbar, and it was close to being the goal. I mean, the word score, part of it came out of my mouth. It was that close. We didn't have the same kind of replays that we have now and all that kind of thing. Maybe that's a good thing, because the ricochet was such that it really looked like it could have been in, which would have obviously tied the game. So that was a scary moment toward the end. The play in the final seconds was around the main goal. The Lake Superior really didn't get close enough to threaten, but there was a lot going on for the remainder of that period, that's for sure.
Well, here's how it ended.
Off the draw, Ingraham shoots it wide. In behind the net, it's cleared around the boards by Barnes up to the left point. Ralston chipping at it, Montgomery there. Strawn and Montgomery at center ice. Montgomery works it back in, 14 seconds left. Played at the Lake Superior blue line out to center ice. Picked off Ingraham, poked away. Imes has it at the main blue line. Lifts it in, 8 seconds to go. Played by Barnes. Across to the far side, tipped in. 4 seconds left, Murphy's got it. Loses it to Smith. Loose in front, rolled wide. It's over! The Black Bears have won it. Maine's first national championship, 5-4. They did it, Maine.
Well, there it is, 25 years ago tonight, and I want to tell the story. And this was actually, I think, from a couple of years earlier, Joe, but, you know, we've gotten so used in the broadcasting business to people having catchphrases and things like that. And I remember asking you somewhere along the way, what are you going to say you know what you're going to say if Maine wins the national championship? And I remember you saying, I have no idea. I haven't really thought about it. I want it to be in the moment. And man, it certainly was. It was simple and it was perfect for that setting.
Oh, thank you. As you know, the best thing you can do at those moments is shut your mouth.
Yeah, get out of the way, right?
Yes, indeed. How lucky are we, though, to have experiences like that and for any of us to have been around that team? Boy, what it meant, because there's so much that kind of went along with that, being the first championship, Maine's a small state, you know, these kinds of things just don't usually happen, and there you are at the very top of the mountain, and to get there in that way with a team that was so popular and for good reasons, you know, throughout the state. It was really just a tremendous, tremendous thing for all of us.
And that was amazing, but in many ways as amazing, the reception at the airport when the team returned and then the celebration at Alfond Arena.
You know, I missed all of that.
You did?
Because, yeah, for some reason, I can't quite remember, our travel party got divided up, and not surprisingly, I was put on the second plane. so it was all over by the time I got back, but I saw lots of pictures and video, and yeah, that was great and well-deserved. I can picture Jim Montgomery holding the trophy up at center ice. They wore those nylon sweatsuits that they wore, which were pretty hideous. You know, had diagonal stripes on them or something like that, and they were all out there. But it was really something, and really hard to believe it's been 25 years, but there we are.
Well, it was great to see so many of the guys last fall when they came here for induction into the University of Maine's Hall of Fame. And, man, they will always be a team, whether it's 50 years down the road. The bonds that were forged that season will never go away, and all of them have such a love of the University of Maine, the coaches, their teammates, and for that really once-in-a-lifetime experience of the 92-93 season.
I don't think we will ever see another team like that one, and unless the game changes dramatically again. So we should savor that and all those memories, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, it's been great reminiscing with you. Always good to talk with you. Please give our best to Ellen and the family, and we'll talk with you again down the road, I hope.
Thank you, Rich, and thanks, Kerry.
Thank you. It's Joe Carr, voice of Maine hockey, 25 years ago tonight. They won the whole thing. What great memories.
Yeah, and unlike Joe, I was able to make it up to the, not to the airport, but to the celebration at Alfond, and that was as electric as the games themselves.
We should have just booked an hour with Joe to talk about that. I mean, that was great.
Yeah.
Fun to remember. Such good times and amazing memories for the Black Bears.